Well, May 18 at Hollywood Park, the grade $250,000 Marjorie L. Everett Handicap was won by Open Water, a four-year-old filly by Include, bred by Overbrook Farm. And at Pimlico, the $100,000 Chick Lang Stakes went to Zebros, a three-year-old colt in the First Crop by Brother Derek, bred by EICO Stables. Open Water is a typical Include, tough, game as they come. After posting back-to-back wins at two at Turfway Park, she's competed in nine consecutive graded stakes, winning or placing in five. Prior to a grade two win, she had placed in the grade one Las Virgines, the grade one Del Mar Oaks, the grade one Bayacoa, and the grade two San Clemente. To compete at the highest level, he sired five grade one winners, plus eight others that have placed in grade one stakes, look to Include. Zebros wired the field to take the Chick Lang. After the race, Bob Baffert said, "We've always been high on this horse." A $270,000 graduate of the 2012 OBS April sale. Another promising runner by Brother Derek is May at the Cove, a two-year-old filly trained by Wesley Ward that won her debut at Keeneland in impressive fashion. This filly has stakes potential written all over. That's exactly where she's headed. Include Brother Derek, a grade one stakes winner at 2 and 3 and over $1,611,000. Both stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here in the clocker stand at the Thoroughbred Center. Beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous day. Got to go home and mow, but other than that, it's a gorgeous day.
It is.
You can just see the grass grow. I never seen a spring like this. Don't believe it's a late spring, but you know, everything's working.
I know. Gotta watch your founder now. It's always something.
Well, it's that fat mare of yours. You're gonna start riding her.
Gotta put a muzzle on her. It's easier.
All right. Well, let's see. Since last week's show, we've had 11 winners. And Brian Michael had a nice winner, La Malaguena. Up at Churchill Downs. So congratulations, Brian. Let's see who else won. Eduardo Caramori, Joe D. Dodgen, Rod McDowell, Howard Dusty Rice, Matt Frazier. Matt's was another quarter horse up at Indiana Downs. Tommy Short win one. So did Ted Lucas, John Paul Puchak. And last night, two at Indiana Downs. Jesse Caudle saddled the gold for cash. To win, and Jimmy Corrigan got another one. Jimmy's having a heck of a month. I don't know how many he's saddled down through here. I don't have time to count them now. But anyway, that's 11 winners, 39 winners so since last week's show, and 39 winners so far this month. So we're going to, what's today? The 25th?
Yeah.
So we got six more days.
Yeah.
Counting the day of racing. What are we going to do today? Well, I have, of course, Dr. Byers and Michael Blowen will be here. They come in later today. Michael's unloading something at the...
I hope it's money.
Yeah.
Boxes and boxes of money.
At old friends. So then he and Doc are going to come on a little bit later on and work out real good because I've got Susan Shirtlett here with me this morning. Susan... is tied. All these horses I just named off, I guess you clocked them all one time or another, Susie.
Yeah.
Susie took over the clock in here when I retired, and Susie took over, and I've been trying to get her to come on the show here now for about 5-6 years, and I finally got her right where I want her, because I come in and help her clock on Fridays and Saturdays.
Gets him out of the house.
And now she's been being too embarrassed to turn me down. Is that what's going on, isn't it?
Well, that and you locked the front door and I can't get out.
Yeah. So she's doing a real good job, and it's kind of a hard job, boy, isn't it, Susie?
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's hard to get everything right and be accurate.
Yeah.
Trainers can't spell, and owners can't spell, and I can't spell. And that ups the difficulty.
Well, you're just continuing the tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
So I fit right in that category too. But you know, it's on the other hand, it's a lot of fun. Well, Susie was up until she started clocking, and the only reason she retired from out riding here was had to have hip replacement. And it's kind of hard to ride one of these horses around here, but you're riding again now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm working on weekends, Sundays or Mondays, when the other outriders are off.
And you had hip replacement in January.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good. You got back pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I'm better than before. Bionic woman.
Yeah, there you go. Those operations are something, you know. Don Combs had that knee operation, you know, of course, Don walked with that bent knee, you know. Hell, he's 2 inches taller now.
You know? Yeah, Judy Woodbury had both of her hips replaced, and she's galloping.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a miracle, really.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, Urso had his. He's still whining, though.
Yeah. Still complaining.
Well, so, I'll give you the insider, Jackie. It doesn't hurt anymore.
There you go.
Don't let him fool you.
Susie, you started out riding here a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Well, because when we first came out here in the mid-80s, I think, Jackie and I, you were here then. Weren't you riding then?
Yeah, Joe Johnson had the place when I started.
Yeah.
Out riding, and I trained some and whatever.
Oh, I know you've done it all. I'm going to get around to that. I've known Susie that long, but I didn't really get to know her until a little bit closer since you started clocking. And, you know, we kind of got pushed together that way, you know, where I could learn a little bit. And I want to tell you something, and I'm serious about this. Susie has been with horses all her life. And I've learned that Susie knows how the horses think. And you know what to expect from horses and how to correct those things. And that's something you've devoted your life to, I believe. So I want to get into that a little bit, Susie. Starting out, where are you from originally?
I'm from Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, which is in the northeast corner near Scranton, Wilkes-Barre.
Okay.
Is your coal mining town.
Coal mining town?
Yeah, but my...
You're a coal miner's daughter?
Yeah, my dad and mother had saddlebreds.
Uh-huh.
So, being the typical kid, I had saddlebreds to ride, but I wanted to ride jumpers.
Okay.
So I fussed and cried and whined, and finally they bought me a little show pony, and it wouldn't jump.
Yeah.
And then my godfather sent me to George Morris.
Wow.
In New York.
Holy cow.
Because all I did was cry because I couldn't get this horse to go.
Yeah.
And then I started riding with George, and George decided I was timid. So he sent me to Mikey Smithwick in Maryland to ride steeplechasers and learn to be aggressive.
My God.
And that was like Survivor Boot Camp.
Was it?
And I made that. And then I came to Kentucky to go to UK. And
well, let me get back. You know. Did you ride steeplechasers very long? Or?
Yeah, I worked for him for 2 years.
And yeah. Did you ride competitively any?
Yeah, I rode about 5 races.
Yeah.
And I fell at every fence, every race. We had a wreck. And then they let me ride a flat race, and I won it. And I thought, oh, this is the way to go.
Okay.
Gee whiz, you've hit the high spot.
But I fox hunted with Mikey's mother, who thought women should ride side saddle. She was 80-some years old, and I had to tack up a steeplechaser and ride with her, and you needed a steeplechaser to keep up with her.
Holy cow.
Did you ride side saddle?
Yes.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Mary Fisher had show horses out here. She was...
Saddlebred.
Saddlebred.
Yeah.
And she used to ride side saddle. In fact, she won several championships riding side saddle. It's the only time I'd ever seen that done. Is it hard?
It's awkward, and because you have a hook that you rest one knee in, and then you have another hook that goes over your lower knee, and mm-hmm. your stirrup is short and it's jammed up in there so you can jump. If the horse fell, I feel like you might break both your legs, or if it flipped or turned over something, you couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was all that great.
So, but you were with Smithwick for how long were we with?
2 years.
What's the name of that hunt?
I don't know. It's Moncton, Maryland.
I was just wondering. I've forgotten.
They want you to jump 4 plank fences.
Oh. Sounds like the Irish.
And then I came here, and somebody was going, Joe Miller was going to take me to hunt at Iroquois.
Mm-hmm.
And on this little app that she was going to put me on, could barely jump 3 feet, 3 inches. And I'm thinking we're going to jump 4 plank fences. I couldn't sleep all night.
Yeah.
Went out to Iroquois and found out you had these nice little panels, and you could drop the top rail, and it was like a trail ride. And I was
right.
Like, oh, I can do this.
Oh, that's fun. That's what. Then you went to UK. I guess you majored in animal science or something.
Botany.
You're kidding.
No.
What? Botany.
Botany?
Well, that didn't last long. I tell you that. get back into the horses then? Well, you were probably riding the whole time.
Well, I met High Petter, and he would pick me up at school, and I'd go out to his farm.
Well, Hurricane Hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
out of Georgetown Pike. Yeah, go ahead.
And gave riding lessons to Anna Webb, and then I went to work for Summerhill for Joe Miller and gave lessons and broke yearlings and hunted and showed and
mm-hmm.
just went full-time after that at Summerhill. I worked there for about 5 years.
Is that right?
Before I got my thoroughbred license.
And now that's out Leestown.
Frankfort.
Oh, Frankfort. Okay.
About Red Road, right around in there.
Yeah, right next to Don Hardesty's old place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bonnie Braves was that.
Yeah.
You remember that? Yeah. Did you remember Don?
Yeah.
He was somewhere from out in Arizona, and I think he went back there, I believe. Don Hardesty. I hadn't thought about him, Susie. My God, for I don't know how long.
Well, we had a thoroughbred teaser.
Uh-huh.
And he got loose, and when I got up one morning, he was in their barren mare field breeding the mares. And the only way you could get this stallion out was to go through the gate right by the house.
Oh.
And so I got him through the gate, and then I was hopped on him bareback, and I was riding him down the driveway, and they see me riding down the driveway, and everybody's mad. Yeah. They're yelling at me, and I said, well, you need to do something. There was a stallion loose in the broodmare field. And he jumped the fence and went that way. And and I tried to catch him, and they never looked at what I was sitting on. And I had to ride him all the way down that big, long driveway to get him home. But I was scared to death of him.
Oh, after dealing with that kind of thing, dealing with the problems out here at the thoroughbred, so it had to be easy. Let me take a break here and pay some bills. I'll get right back with you, Susie. Well, May 17th, the Pimlico, the Grade 3, $300,000 Pimlico Special was won by Last Gunfighter. I love that name. He's a 4-year-old colt by First Samurai, bred and owned by John Gunther, and trained by Chad Brown. Last Gunfighter won by 4 1/4 lengths, going away to secure his third stakes win of the year. He's 3-for-3 in 2013. Never out of the money. He has posted 6 wins from 10 starts with earlier victories in the Grade 3 Excelsior, the Raymond Earl, and the Evening Attire Stakes, all in New York. He is one of 4 2013 stakes winners by First Samurai. Just Philip has won the Grade 3 Count Fleet Sprint Earlier in his career, he won the Grade II Woody Stevens and placed in six more stakes, two Grade I. Swift Warrior has posted two graded stakes wins already this year. And Get Happy Mister has won the 2013 renewal of the $100,000 Northern Spur Stakes at Oaklawn. First Samurai, sorry, eight stakes winners in 2012, including one of the top two-year-old fillies in the nation. Multiple Grade I winner Executive Privilege is a multiple Grade I winner by Giants Causeway, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
A progeny of Windstar Stallions won three stakes last Saturday at Pimlico. Penis by More Than Ready won the Grade $350,000 Galleret. Summer Applause by Harlan's Holiday won the Grade III Allaire DuPont Distaff. And Dance to Bristol by Sprightstown won the $100,000 Ski Pat Stakes. More Than Ready is internationally successful. His Pianist won the Grade III Galleret on May 18. On May 14, Dalwant by More Than Ready won Group 3 stakes in France. And on May 11, Vivi Velosi won Group 2 stakes in Australia. That's three graded stakes, a group stakes winners in 7 days. Summer Applause, a four-year-old daughter of Harlan's Holiday, won the Grade 2 Top Flight back in March, the Grade 3 Rachel Alexander last year, and she's earned nearly $600,000. Like More Than Ready, Harlan's Holiday is nationally ranked again in 2013. So is Sprightstown. In fact, Sprightstown currently ranks fourth on the sire list. Never Off the Board in 15 starts at 2, 3, and 4. Dance to Bristol has won four stakes and over $410,000. Leading sires More Than Ready, Harlan's Holiday, and Sprightstown, Windstar Stallions. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packer, or Chance Tim, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. I'm talking to Susan Shirtlett here at the Thoroughbred Center, and we were talking about Don Hardesty, and we're going back. Golly, Susie, that has to be back in the late 1950s, right about in that, 1960, right in that time?
70, I think.
Well, Don?
Okay.
Or 69 or something.
No, it was prior to that, sweetie, when I knew him. How long did Don stay there?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because he was... I met him when I was with the Blood Horse, and I left there in 1960. Well, anyway, that's academic.
I'm not good with time.
That's a long time ago. Anyway, so you stayed there at Summerhill for 5 years, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I got my trainer's license.
Then you got in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been 5:24. It was yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you... we got somebody hollering at us here. Did you?
Yeah.
You started training with, did you go with anybody or just went out on your own?
No, I just jumped in.
Yeah.
In fact, the first time I went to a paramutual race is when I saddled my first horse.
Is that right? When was that?
75.
Okay. Where was that?
Churchill Downs.
Oh, wow.
And I hired one of those old... guys at the backside, you know, that are 100 years old to get me over and get me to the paddock on time and everything. And,
yeah.
And then they'd call you over and I'd go, we need to go. And he'd say, just wait, you know.
Yeah.
Then I got there and they led the jocks came down, the valets came down, and I said, oh, look how little that saddle is. Yeah. And then they made me stand over away in the two valets saddled my horse.
Okay.
So then it goes out and it runs the race and it finishes about fifth.
Yeah.
And the jock gets off and says, ride me back, we'll win. And I was so excited. I'm running down the racetrack where this groom is, and I go, he said we'd win. The jock said next time we'd win. And he goes, honey, they all say that.
What a doubt. Who was the jock? Do you remember who you rode?
No.
Yeah.
No, you don't remember?
Well, I just, you know, it went away.
I can't remember the first one, the guy that...
Jimmy Shank broke my maiden, though. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Jimmy Shank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
On a one-eyed horse from Texas.
Where'd you get his? When, where?
At River Downs.
Okay.
Her name was Bonnie Fly. Mm-hmm. You couldn't shoe her. She ran barefoot and was blind in one eye. And he won. It was like a kind of a dead heat, but he thought he'd won. And the two jocks were kind of arguing over who won the race.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, don't do that. Don't argue.
Okay. One of your old students called me. We ought to play Guess the Student. Anyway, she said that there was a forgotten the horse's name. Just a second. See, she said she wasn't allowed stirrups. She won two championships under you. Wasn't allowed stirrups for 3 months. Rooster Tail was the horse's name. Do you remember yet? With no mane.
Rooster Cogburn was the horse's name.
Oh, okay. A little app. That's what she said. This is Kathy Calvert.
Oh.
She said, say hi. She wasn't allowed stirrups for 3 months before some show. So, anyway, she said you also taught Missy.
Angelusi,
who's, of course, Missy Brown now.
Yeah.
Melissa Brown. Yeah. So, there's this.
And she had a horse named Roman Candle, and that was the first hunter I showed professionally.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Kathy said she won two championships of some.
They've won a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Her sister did, too.
Yeah, so they're, somebody's listening.
My other listener.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Well, I know you rode some races because you and I have talked about it. And, of course, you used. Now, when you trained, let's just get back to where you were training. Were you training out of the Thoroughbred Center here?
Yeah.
Yeah, now that was back in when. Did Joe Johnson have it then or Doc Pesson have it then?
Well, Joe Johnson had it, but I was out here with some yearlings and stuff and
went
got
on
to meet Doc Pesson.
Yeah.
And, he was intimidating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'm scared to death of Doc.
Oh, yeah.
I always got along with him real good, but he ran this with like an iron, you know, with an iron hand. But at that time, all he had was a 5/8 mile track down there.
Right.
Yeah. Was that the one you told me about you were down there and the horse hit you in the face and you came back? Who were you training for?
Oh, that was a quarter horse trainer I was working for.
Tell that story.
And
that's a great story.
Tall guy and very serious, very quiet and intimidating, mm-hmm. if you didn't know him. And I worked this horse and I was riding through the tunnel and it slung its head and it hit me in the eye. And by the time I got to the barn, my eye was all black and I couldn't see. And I'm in the tack room trying to see if my face is all right. And somebody said to John, what happened to Susie? And he said, well, I told her to work in 36. She went in 36 and won, and that won't happen again. I didn't know he did that. So I come out, and I'm getting on a bunch of other horses, and everybody's saying, you don't have to get on for him. We'll give you a horse. We'll give you a horse.
Yeah.
And I'm going, I don't know what this is all about. And then he finally told me what he'd done.
Well, they were giving, at least you knew you had some other mouths.
Yeah, I had some friends.
Yeah, right.
But I rode quarter horse races for him.
Did you really? Where was that? Where?
I rode in Michigan, River Downs, Beulah mm-hmm. Park, Indianapolis, mm-hmm. at a speedway. That was interesting because the guardrail was knee high to your horse. And You had to watch you didn't, like, fall over the inside rail.
Oh, my gosh. What kind of a speedway? Car?
Car speedway.
But what did they do? Just put some dirt down?
Yeah, they had a little dirt track, and if you were going 3/8 of a mile, the track was banked up. And if you're in the one hole, all the horses would come down on top of you. So you had to be really quick out of the gate. It was a motivator.
Yeah, well, I bet you. I'd want to be on the outside, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the idea. Yeah. Well, that sounds like fun. Well, you've done just about all of it. She keeps getting all these messages.
Message Kathy Calvert. Well, she was Kathy Greer in those days. Yeah. She rode Huntsman.
Yeah.
Yeah, trained by Tommy Rankin.
Okay.
And Huntsman would get on the van. He had his own spot in the van, and you could turn him loose. And when you're getting ready for a show, and he'd walk up the ramp and back in to his stall.
Is that right?
And then
right?
He'd load the other horses.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah, she said Rooster was the schooling pony, and she said, this is the evil part. She didn't say it was evil. You put her in a round pen, no bridle, no saddle, and jump to get her legs strong.
Yeah. Well, I was fresh out of George Morris. That's what George did to us.
Yeah, yeah. That's
taught you a little bit, didn't
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Oh. Well, let's move on. We'll stir Kathy up then.
Large there. Working hunter and state equitation champion. There you go.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, did you ever ride any thoroughbred races?
No, I rode just a few flat races, like at hunt meets.
Oh, okay.
And those few steeplechase races that weren't overly successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was fat. I couldn't do the weight for the thoroughbred. So that's why I rode the quarter horses. I was still training thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
But I had the idea I wanted to be a jockey, so I rode the quarter horse races to see if I liked riding races and to see if I could get my weight down.
Yeah. Well, of course, you're not small, but I mean, you're not overweight or anything. What do you weigh now? About 120?
I wish. No, I weigh a little more than that.
Do you? Yeah.
The lightest I could get was 115.
Yeah.
Yep. And I look like a prison camp victim.
Did you? Then you trained out here from the Thoroughbred Center for off and on for a long time. Yeah. And then when you started out riding, and with who had the place then when you were out riding?
Well, everybody's had it. I did Spendthrift and Joe Johnson, and then Joe Johnson again, I guess, and Churchill.
Churchill owned it.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was training for Judy Fuson, and then when she retired, I just went on to outriding because I tried the public stable thing and had trouble getting paid on time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
now, Judy Fuson,
Judy Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Elmhurst Farm.
Owen Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elmhurst Farm, yeah. Out on the Winchester Road when you just, of course, there wasn't any interstate at that time, but when you're going out to Winchester Road, and you cross over the interstate. It's right down on the left.
Yeah.
Preston Madden owns a place down there.
Yeah, Anita lives in.
Yeah, he and Anita
lives there. Their old mansion that was on the farm.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been on that farm many times. Back when Owen had it, Campbell. Went out there when I was a kid with my dad to look at a couple of fillies that they had out there for sale. It was a Spy Song and a Royal Note. And Royal Note was a son of Spy Song. But we went out there and looked at him. Of course, my dad liked he stood Spy Song over Dixiana, you know, and he liked the Spy Song. Well, the Royal Note turned out to be she won the Futurity in New York beating Colts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Trying to think of her name now, right now, but Little Tumbler.
Oh, okay.
Was her name, yeah. I don't know how I can remember that kind of stuff when I can't remember to get out of bed in the morning.
Well, that's what the alarm clock's for.
Yeah, exactly.
My alarm clock hadn't gone off in years. I'm not sure it works anymore. Oh, my goodness, I've run by getting talking to Susie here. Let me have another little break, and we'll get back to you, then we'll let you go turn your works in. With Dun Donnell, a 3-0 colt from the first crop by First Defense, won the May 18th running in the King Charles II Stakes at Newmarket. He was the class horse in the race, said his jockey, Martin Harley, after the race. The King Charles II was just his second 2013 outing. He had placed in the Group 3 Craven Stakes on April 18. Never out of the money in Great Britain, Dundonnell won the Group 3 Acombe Stakes and ran second in the Group 2 Champagne at 2. In his only start in the USA as a two-year-old, he was a closing fourth, beating 2 3/4 lengths in a field of 14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last November. First Defense is also the sire of the Fleet Close Hatches, winner of her first three starts, including the Grade 2 Gazelle in New York, of Stakes Place New Lime, second in the Trippy Stakes at Belmont, in his most recent outing, Smoking in the Boys' Room. That's a terrible name, but it can run. Second in the Turfway Preview Stakes, and of 21 winners in his first crop. First Grade 1 winner, First Defense, by Unbridled Song, out of Empire Maker's Grade 1 winning half-sister, Honest Lady, by Seattle Slough, is siring runners for 7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also of Mizzen Mast, the sire of 5 Grade 1 winners, including 2 winners of Breeders' Cup races, and the winner of the 2013 French 1,000 Guineas. Hear inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Einstein's first starter is Einstein's first winner. The first foals by Einstein are two-year-olds. And on May 18, his first to start, the cleverly named filly E equals MC squared, broke her maiden in impressive fashion. Bred in Kentucky by Paradise Productions, E equals MC squared ran fourth in a first start on May 3 at Hollywood Park after bobbling at the start. Shipped to Lone Star, she broke her maiden by nearly 8 lengths, going 4.5 furlongs. Now, Einstein was tough to beat at any distance, but the further he ran, the tougher he got. And the fact that his first two-year-old starter won at 4.5 furlongs is something to keep in mind. Einstein won 5 Grade 1 stakes, won graded stakes on dirt, turf, and synthetic, recorded 9 triple-digit buyers, ended his career with 16 straight starts in Grade 1 or Grade 2 races, winning 5 and placing 7 others, and he earned nearly $3 million. And he retired sound. He stands for $7,500 live foal. Otherwise, it was a pretty routine weekend for the Adena Stallions, Awesome Again, and his Hall of Fame son, Go Zapper, Awesome Again, is the sire of Oxbow, winner of the classic Grade 1 $1 million Preakness Stakes, and Go Zapper is the sire of Zy Approval, winner of the Grade 3 Red Bank Stakes at Monmouth Park. For more information about the Adena Spring Stallions, call Eric Hamelback at 859-987-1778 and see the website, adenastallions.com. Righto, I'm talking to Susan Shirtlett out here, who when did you start to outride out here, Susie? What, do you remember that?
I can't tell you exactly when. I don't.
A while back.
One hip ago.
One hip ago.
Yeah. Long enough to wear out a hip. That's how long I've been out riding.
Well, it took a couple of years to wear that hip out. Yeah. I imagine you've had a lot of bones broken down through the years anyway, if you had much as you fooled around with horses.
No, not really.
Really?
You know, I've got arthritis, but, you know, I never really broke that much.
Yeah. Okay. So you started riding out here with probably when Joe Johnson had it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a character, wasn't he, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You got an awful good horse right now that we've talked about. We've talked about him on the air. Tell us a little about Rock. What's Rock's history?
Well, Rock used to be Jinx Fire's racehorse and then his pony.
Mm-hmm.
And he's real pretty. He's Budweiser Bay, 4 white socks, and James Jackson saw him and thought he was beautiful and had to have him.
Mm-hmm.
And he annoyed Jinx till he finally had to pay way too much money for him, probably.
Yeah.
And he got him, and then James didn't get along with him very well, and I needed a pony. So I ended up with him, and he just turned out to be a super catch horse. That's his calling in life.
Yeah.
And he's good at it, and he's, you know, been with me ever since. And he made me look like I can ride, made me a hero several times.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But he knows when horses are loose out here before you do, usually, or the outriders do.
Yeah, I can sleep. And he'll, like, hey, look at that.
Yeah.
And all he needs is my arm. He puts me on the horse. He just needs something to grab it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just his thing, you know.
Yeah.
He's hot. He was probably too nervous to be a racehorse.
Mm-hmm.
He's too hot to be a show horse. He's pretty enough to be a show horse, but, you know, he's very hot.
Yeah.
But the outriding thing's just his little niche. It took us a couple of years to get it, get him right. But
you have to calm him down, and what did you have to? How did you calm him down to make him? What do you do?
Well, he fell in love with Worms. Had a pony named Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'd go catch something and he'd be all nervous and prancing and sweating and falling apart, we'd go stand next to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it was like a little shot of tranquilizer because Hollywood would just stand there. And then he'd relax.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd do that over and over. And finally, he got where he would relax on his own.
Yeah.
But whenever he'd get all nervous, we'd go find Hollywood. Stay next to Hollywood.
Yeah, now that's Worm's part. Now, Worm is Sherman Mitchell. Everybody calls him Worm because when he was a little kid, he loved to fish, and he'd go out and dig up worms, you know, so everybody just started calling him Worm. I first met him, it took me forever to get used to calling him that.
I know. Well, I think it's neat that I work with Worm and Robin.
You're right.
How true.
Yeah, Robin is the other outrider now. But you're coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to quit clocking. You're going to keep on clocking.
No, because you quit, I have to.
Okay.
You have to do it.
Yeah, you weren't supposed to retire for another 3 or 4 years.
Well, I thought it was very timely. You couldn't ride, you couldn't outride for a while. I thought it was that would work out real good.
It's more interesting than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it is. I had fun. I enjoy the people out here. You know, it's most everybody out here is real nice. And
yeah, they work with you, trying to, you know, get everything right and be accurate and
yeah,
help you. Of course, if you and Harold and Holly and everybody else weren't here on Saturdays and Fridays, the world would come to an end.
Oh, no.
Funny.
Well, I had to have help, too. I mean, they reached the point that how many did you end up with this morning? It wasn't that many, was it?
No, I think it was maybe 50.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a fairly light day.
Yeah.
You know, when they hired me, when Jim, the Keeneland hired me, Jim Fenegast over here, they said, you'll have about 40 works a week. And it turned out within a week I was having about 40 a day.
Yeah, we all thought that was funny. Now I have a different perspective.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you'd sit out there on your pony and watch everybody go nuts.
Yeah, it's not an easy job. It isn't. But anyway. Well, I know you got to turn your works in. Listen, Susie, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Coming by, and it's fun talking to you. Yeah, I know you've got more tales. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, it's fun talking to you. Thanks, Susie.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Well, C3, a 3-year-old colt by Jazzle Racing in France, has posted 3 wins and a second from 4 career starts, with his second outing coming in his first start in stakes in the Group 3 Prix La Force. He's a colt with a bright future. C3 joins a growing list of stakes horses by Jazzle, a list that includes Grade 1 stakes winners in Europe and South America, a listed stakes winner in Europe, and three stakes horses in the USA. The Fleet de Thistle, Najjar, goes in stakes today in the $125,000 Arlington Classic. He placed in that earlier. And Love Me Good in the Our Mims at Delaware. Now, Najjar is in the stakes, I'm pretty sure, up at Arlington Day, but he's already placed in the Arlington Classic up there. Now, Dazzle won the third leg of the Triple Crown, the Classic Belmont Stakes, as did his half-sister, the champion filly Rags to Riches. Sired by Seeking the Gold, Dazzle was out of a Broodmare of the Year. His second dam won the Kentucky Oaks, and his third dam was yet another Broodmare of the Year. He is, without question, one of the best bred classic winners in the world. Dazzle stands for $4,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm, home also of Albertus Maximus, De Hare, Interdab Hall of Famer Invisor, and Mustenfar. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend, Ralph Quillen, who operates the best tack shop in the country, down in Paris, Kentucky. Quillen Leather and Tack. And it's the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship over 17,000 halters a year. Now, that's shipped. Send them worldwide, as a matter of fact. If you're a local and you walk in the front door and you buy some tack, you can buy just about anything in there. As far as that goes, you can save 10% just by walking in the door and and paying for it. So there you go. Just go in, talk to Sandy or Debbie or Ralph if he's around. And he usually is, although he spends a lot of time upstairs on his computer doing what, I don't know. But turnout halters, weanling halters, yearling halters, mares and stallion halters, all kinds of halter options. Muzzles, we're just talking about muzzles with that mare, the Jackie. Jackie wanted to get on a fox hunting horse. We need a muzzle for her, so we'll probably be over at Quillen Tack. That's where we get everything. And they got a great gift shop over there, so anyway, stop by and see Ralph and the gang.
And Ralph is having some sort of a box supper at his farm, his house out there. Remember that house?
Yeah, it's a gorgeous place.
200 years old.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Hopewell Museum is having a box supper.
Uh-huh.
June, I don't know, you have to go to find out on the web.
Yeah.
I tried to print it out. But anyway, it's like 30 if you're a member of the museum, 35 if you're not. So that's a real nice thing he's doing.
Yeah, Ralph is very active in
the community
down in Paris. Great tack shop. Stop by and see him. It's right there in Paris, Kentucky. Going from Lexington, you go to the third stoplight and look to your left. Can't miss it. Also, you need to pick up your Sunday edition. I picked mine up this morning. Of course, came out yesterday of the Daily Racing Form. Got an article in there. I haven't had a chance to read it by Nicole Russo. Got some great pictures in there, some old-time pictures of Calumet horses. And she wrote all about Calumet. And, of course, they, you know, came back with a Derby with a Preakness winner. And that's an interesting article. I love the pictures. That's all I've had a chance to do is look at that right now. Patrick Reed is writing about Oxbow's pedigree, and John Sparkman's talking about, interestingly enough, some, how the inbreeding to Stormcat Star is paying off now. He points out that the last gunfighter who just won a graded stakes, he's about First Samurai, is inbred to Stormcat. So, and then, of course, Mary Simon and Glennie Keane and Oakford write for the Daily Racing Form, and you'll find articles by him just about every Sunday. And so pick that up. It's very interesting reading, and it's enjoyable. And it's a Sunday edition of the Daily Racing Form. All righty. Well, Jackie?
Yes, sir.
You want to do some announcements?
Yeah, I will. First, I'll announce Kathy Calvert. I delivered your messages to Susie. Kathy is my friend, of course, and Susie was her teacher, and she won championships and stuff when she was a kid.
Kathy is married to Jerry Calvert.
Yes.
Attorney and former UK basketball player for Rupp.
Yes, and Kathy got back into horses after we got out of law school, and it turns out that
gray horse that she had. She had at our place for a while. Is out of a mare that Threave Maine had, and it's by
Afternoon Delights.
Afternoon Delights, who is an old friend. So she and Jerry, I think, are going to go out today. I want to tell Michael when he gets in here to check out Afternoon Delights. It's a nice horse, that gray horse. She said he's flea bitten now. He was dapply dark gray when we had him, but he's a sweetie. Yeah. Nice, nice, nice guy. So anyway, there you are. Big fun day, hot diggity dogs this weekend at the horse park. Kentucky Invitational High School Rodeo yesterday, today, and tomorrow. May Day's horse trial yesterday, today, and tomorrow. KDA, that's Kentucky Dressage Association, spring warm-up and annual dressage show yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And today and tomorrow is Pirelli Natural Horsemanship Clinic. Pirelli is one of those whisper guys, and he's having a clinic out there, and I'm sure you could go out. He's in the Alltech Arena.
You have to listen real close, though, while he's whispering.
Yes, that's true. That's the only problem. That's for horses, not patooties.
Oh.
Now, the 28th, that's next, let's see, Tuesday, is cross-country schooling day. They're having two sessions, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And this is because it was originally scheduled a week or two ago when we had those terrible, well, just had a whole lot of rain. Same reason they canceled the High Hope. So they're going to make up for that Tuesday. And then the following Saturday, which is June the 1st. I cannot believe it's June the 1st. They're going to have another cross-country schooling day. These are a lot of fun. You have to have a Coggins, you have to have a health cert, helmets, of course, and all the boots, that kind of stuff. But that's so much fun. I've done that before, and that is so cool. You ride through there, and they've got this one massive jump. This duck sits in the middle of this water. And you ride up to it on a fairly nice-sized horse, and you look up at the jump. That's gives you a great deal of respect for those cross-country guys and all that stuff. So that's what's coming up there. Churchill Downs runs through June the 30th. Ellis Park opens July 4th, and I think that's interesting because at one point Churchill Downs bought Ellis Park so they could have the July 4th date. Remember that? Red Mile, that's in August. Kentucky Downs, September 7th through the 25th. Monet Mary sent me an email. Rerun is, of course, a thoroughbred retraining and adoption charity. They're going to have a spring auction of their Monets. If you're not familiar with Monets, they give the horse, sometimes they give them a paintbrush, and sometimes they take the horse's nose and put like watercolors on it, and they hold a palette up. I mean, any kind of paper or something. I think they do watercolors. And the horse rubs their nose and paints. Some of them are right happy with painting on those things. They're real colorful. They kind of look like modern art. M-O-N-E-I-G-H is a clever name. I'll never get over that. It's an abstract 20 by 16 painting created by a horse using, muzzle, whiskers, hoof, tail, or paintbrush. And it's trademarked, the name derived, of course, from the French artist Monet and the sound made by a horse. They've completed over 1,000 paintings since 2001. Name of the event is Winning Colors by Fan Favorites. Co-chairman, listen to this, cute. Co-chairman of the auction are Einstein and Gio Ponti. Two artists who brought
Einstein just had his first 2-year winner.
I know, named E=MC². That is so cute.
Going 4.5 furlongs.
Yeah. They've got Animal Kingdom, Awesome Maria, Better Talk Now, Cigar, Evening, Go Sapper, Go for Gin, Groupie Doll, Mucho Macho Man, Rapid Redux, Shackleford, and some Hunter Jumper stuff. Carlson Baum Duck was an Olympic gold medicine, and Rox Denny, Hunter Jumper of the Century. Well, Go to rerun.org and click on eBay, and you can bid for these starting May 26th through June the 2nd.
You can interrupt for a second?
Sure.
All righty. Well, it's not too late to take advantage of Spendthrift Farms' popular Breed Secure program. Simple program. Breed, sell, and if you don't make a profit, you don't pay. Give Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothaker a call. The number 859-294-0030. Eligible for the program are the young stallions Dominus, Line of David, Notional, and Temple City. Dominus won the Grade 2 Dwyer on the dirt, the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch on grass. His sire, Smart Strike, has twice topped the North American sire list, and his dam, a stakes winner and graded place daughter of Lord of War, is a half-sister to the Grade 1 winner and $2 million earner, Honey Rider. Dominus is standing his first season at stud. Line of David won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, beating Super Saber, its first foals of yearlings. He descends from the female family of the great Mr. Prospector. Temple City is a graded stakes winner and track record breaker by Dinah Former, out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon, who currently is the nation's leading sire by North American earnings. It's a great sire pedigree in Temple City's first foals of yearlings. Notional, a multiple graded stakes winner by the sire of Indian Charlie, has a multiple stakes winner in his first crop, and the first two-year-old starter from his second crop won first time out in a maiden special at Keenan. Looks like a good one. Once again, call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothaker at Spendthrift Farm and ask about the Breed Secure program. Website, spendthriftfarm.com. Want to talk a little bit about Reborn. It's a whole bovine colostrum. It's a great, it's a concentrated bovine colostrum, provides support through all stages of your thoroughbred's career. As a matter of fact, last year's Horse of the Year, Wise Dan, was on it. And it, it's really good for foals starting with foals, to give a boost to the natural colostrum that they get from the mare, which sometimes gets a little scarce, as everybody around here knows. It's a high concentration of growth factors and antibodies, and it supports the immune functions in horses of all ages. So, it's gives maximum efficiency, and it's Reborn, R-E-B-O-R-N-E. Also, Lubricin, which is used by some of the top trainers in the country, Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollendoffer, Mike Maker, just to mention a few. And incidentally, Bobby Maxwell called me yesterday, and he said, "Heard you talking about that Lubricin. You and Jackie are taking it?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, I'm going to try that and try to get it. Where can I get it?" So I said, "Well, closest place to use is over at KBC over here in Lexington. So go over there and get some. Or if you're down around Versailles, at Horse Sense, and Versailles carries it. Or you can always go to the website, lubricin.com, S-L-U-B-R-I-S-Y-N.com, or reborn.com to learn more about these products, R-E-B-O-R-N-E, .com. And, of course, that's Dr. Steve Alday's, developed those, and a lot of people just absolutely swear by it. Well, Broken Vow sired 19 stakes winners last year, and he's sired 6 already this year. Keep that in mind when you see a Broken Vow yearling walking to the sales ring at the major sales this year. Broken Vow is by the classic sire and classic winner, Unbridled, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud for 25,000 live foal. Also at Pin Oak is the promising young cowboy cow and the proven Grade 1 sire Sky Classic. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by Giants Causeway, 3 times the number one ranked sire in North America, and a sire of sires, First Samurai, the sire of the recent winner of the Grade 2, Grade 3 Pimlico Special, and the top European sire, Sharma Dahl, are both sons of Giants Causeway. The first foals by Cowboy Cal are 2-year-olds, and they look good. Look like runners, act like runners. As a matter of fact, one sold for $420,000 at the OBS March sale. Cowboy Cal stands for 7,500 live foal. Sky Classic also stands for 7,500 live foal. He's sired 59 stakes winners, 6 champions, and over 100 stakes horses. And you're going to look long and hard to find a sire to match that record standing for 7,500. So give Clifford Barry or Nancy Stevens a call at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Wait a minute. All right, you ready to resume?
I'm ready to resume.
What you was a doing?
UK Equine Farm and Facilities Expo will be June the 19th. That's at Tollgate Farm in Georgetown. Horse owners and managers, you get to see all kind of equipment supplies for horse farms of all sizes. UK specialists will have hands-on instructions about whatever you need instructions. This is Troy Rankin's Tollgate Farm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's in Scott County.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's...
301 Stone Road is where it is.
Okay. Well, I don't know how many farms he owns.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but when I was thinking about it was on Mount Horeb. But okay, go ahead.
Okay. It says he produces hay for on-farm use, sale, grows tobacco, row crops, and raises beef cattle, and races and trains thoroughbred racehorses right out here.
Yep.
So anyway, that is, if you want to find out more about it, email equine@uky.edu and find out more about it. That's June the 19th out at Troy Rankin's. Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club 21st Annual Challenge Cup Golf Scramble will be Monday, July the 1st at the University Club. Where's the University Club, I wonder? Proceeds benefit Kemi and Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. It's a scramble. They're new for this year. One hole alternate shot playoff, whatever that means. Box lunch in the carts. Barbecue dinner following the golf scramble. Listen up, beer. Oh, my God, this is great. Beer, water, and soft drinks will be provided on the course. I love it. And if you drink the beer, you can't drive the golf cart, so that'd be fine. Dress code, you have to wear appropriate golf attire. No cutoff tank tops, I guess. T-shirts and jeans. Blech. So don't do that. You can have a lot of, they've got team entries and corporate sponsorships, all kind of good stuff. Go to info@ktfmc.org. Or you can call Kim Ramsey at 948-7321. Bluegrass Farm Charities is having their second horse farm soccer tournament. It's going to be at Dixiana. It's going to be June the 23rd. Tournament runs through Saturday, 29th of June. Reigning champions Denali Stud will be joined by 7 teams. A week of healthy, I don't know how healthy soccer is, spirited anyway, competition. Spectators are encouraged to come on, especially Saturday for the finals, friends and family night. They're going to have a big barbecue dinner and a play area for the kids. Keeneland sponsors this, Highbridge Water, Judmont Farms, Gainesway, Denali, Ramsey, and of course the presenting sponsor is Dixiana Farms. That's kind of fun. Thoroughbred Horse Show Association summer show is June the 1st. I mentioned it, but what this is about, these are only thoroughbreds. These are only horses that never made it to the races or you know, just didn't. Maybe they're retired. Maybe they raced and maybe they, you know, might be geldings or something that or don't want to breed them. They are setting up horse shows this summer for those particular horses. It's June the 1st. Their hunter jumper, combined test, dressage in hand, classes in hand. The Nick Zito is putting up $500 for the Nick Zito Racing Stable Hunter Classic. So go to tbhorseshow.com for that. I'd like to go out to that. That sounds like a lot of fun. Hats Off Day is Saturday, July 27th. It was huge last year. It's at the horse park. We're talking about it early because they need hats. They want farm hats or your logo on your hat, something to do with the horse business. Last year they had so many people that they ran out of hats kind of early. So they want to avoid that this year. So really what they should do is go over and raid the gift shop. I suggest that for next time if they're interested. Mid-South at Masterson Equestrian Park, Mid-South Tetrathlon Rally. What is all that? Do you know? Tetrathlon. Run, skip, jump, spit, and ride your horse. I don't know. June the 15th and the 16th. Okay. That's it for me.
Is that it for you?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, Munnings posted a 111 buyer the day he won the Grade 2 Tom Fool. He had a 110 in winning the Grade 2 Woody Stevens. A 103 when he won the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Sprint Handicap. He had a world of speed, just like his sire, champion sprinter of Spitestown. He also placed in 6 Grade 1 stakes, the Hopeful and the Champagne as a 2-year-old, the Haskell Invitational, the Vosburgh and King's Bishop at 3, and the Carter at 4. Spitestown ranked 3rd on the North American sire list in 2012, and he currently ranks 3rd in the nation on the sire list by North American earnings. He is, by any measure, a superior sire, and his stud fee has climbed to $60,000. A full brother to major stakes winner Munnings' sister, Munnings is out of a daughter of Grade 1 stakes winner La Guerriere, a Lord of War. La Guerriere is also the dam of the Grade 1 stakes winner Icon Project and multiple graded stakes winner Lasting Approval. The first foals by Munnings are yearlings. He stands for $10,000, doing a full stanza nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Also at Ashford Stud, Majestic Warrior, the nation's leading second crop sire. He was the leading first crop sire last year with 32-year-old winners. Then he's the sire of Declan's Warrior, a winner of 4 of his 5 starts, including the graded stakes, including the Got Gister stakes at Belmont Park just this past Wednesday. For more information about the Ashford Stud Stallions, call the farm, 859-873-7088, and see the website at Coolmore. com.
WLXC Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville!
Slide that in there, would you? Well, May 18 in Hollywood Park, the Grade $250,000 Marjorie L. Everett Handicap was won by Open Water, a 4-year-old filly by Include, bred by Overbrook Farm. And at Pimlico, the $100,000 Chick Lang Stakes went to Zebos, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by Brother Derek, bred by EICO Stable. Open Water is a typical Include, tough, game as they come. After posting back-to-back wins at 2 Turfway Park, she has competed in 9 consecutive graded stakes, placing in 5. Prior to her Grade 2 win, she had placed in the Grade 1 Las Virgines, the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks, the Grade 1 Viacor, the Grade 2 San Clemente. To compete at the highest level, Include sired 5 Grade 1 winners, plus 8 others to place in Grade 1 stakes, book to Include. Zebros won the wired the field to take the Chick Lang. After the race, Bob Efford said, "We've always been high on this horse. Must have been." He paid $270,000 for him at the 2012 OBS April sale. Another promising runner by Brother Derek is May at the Cove, a 2-year-old filly trained by Wesley Ward. She won her debut at Keeneland in impressive fashion. This filly has stakes potential written all over, and that's exactly where she's headed. Include Brother Derek. Brother Derek, a Grade 1 stakes winner, 2 and 3 of over $1,600,000. Both stand at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do.
All right, we just called. What they're unloading over there? We just got a call from Michael. And they're unloading.
Magazines.
Huh?
I guess it's
unloading magazines. The new magazine put out by the Racing Form.
Oh God!
He's got trucks of them, 20,000, and he has to unload them himself.
Well, that's good.
It is?
It is. All right, well, we'll piddle around here. Maybe okay. They'll make it.
Well, you can do some history.
He's supposed to pick up Dr. Byers, too, but that's all right. We'll hang in, Doc, if you can make it. Fine, well, we understand. We'll miss you. We'll just sit over here and pine away.
I know, pine.
All right, I'm going to take care of my good friends out at the KTA in Toba, and that, of course, is David Schweitzer. And we're going to talk about, give you the names of the Kentucky breeders of stakes winners over the last weekend. And, of course, the Preakness Stakes was won by Oxbow, was bred by Colt Neck Stables. Now, that's up in New Jersey, Colt Neck, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, this horse was foaled in Kentucky and owned by Kay Mint, as a matter of fact. Good to see him back with Dwayne Lucas. And he's by Awesome Again, one of my favorite horses. That horse is, geez, he's done just about everything that could be asked of a stud horse. You know, he's a Breeders' Cup winner, four of those, and winners of Breeders' Cup races, and no, hadn't been a horse side more. Now it's stud anyway. And he's just a top stud horse. Running second were two more, was a Kentucky bred. It's My Lucky Day, bred by Liberation Farm and Brandywine Farm. And My Loot ran third, and he was bred by Mike Rutherford. All three are Kentucky breds. And moving right along, let's see. We'll go to the the Black Eyed Susan and 50 Shades of Hay won that one. Where they got that name? It's kind of a nice name. By Pulpit won that, bred by Windstar Farm. And running second, let's see, was it? No, I don't want to talk about that one. Not a Kentucky bred. Oh, well, at least he was second. The Pimlico Special, Last Gunfighter, won that one, bred by John Gunther. And Mr. Gunther owns Glenwood Farm over in, in Versailles, Woodford County. And he's by First Samurai, who, of course, stands down at Claiborne Farm. Interesting pedigree on this horse, and they're writing about it in the Daily Racing Form Sunday edition. That Sunday edition that they put out, the Breeders' edition. This colt, Last Gunfighter, is inbred 3x3 to Stormcat. You know, those things are pretty hot. And the Stormcats, but First Samurai, who's by Giant's Causeway, is by Stormcat. Out of Saratoga Cat, who's by Sir Cat, by Stormcat. So, pays off every now and then. Sometimes you get a double up on the bad habits. The Longines Dixie Stakes, the Pimlico winner, was Sky Ring, bred by Bluegrass Hall. Wilcox Inn was second. That's Dr. John Chandler. And running third, English Optimizer, and he also was bred by Bluegrass Hall. The Distaff Stakes, Alaire DuPont Distaff Stakes, grade 3 Pimlico winner, with Summer Applause, bred by Greenwood Lodge Farm. That's over on Clay Kaiser Pike. They're neighbors of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, matter of fact, there's one farm in between us. I've never had the opportunity to meet them, but it's a beautiful place.
They probably heard about us.
They probably right directly across the road from Johnny Ward's farm over there, which is another beautiful farm.
Yeah.
Summer Applause is by Harlan's Holiday. Of course, it is over at Windstar Farm. Running second was Sea Island, who's by Pulpit, bred by the Fifth Stable, and Brushed by Star, Eddington, by Eddington, bred by Desmond Ryan, Barry, and Ken Donworth. So that's the Gallerette at Pimlico was won by Pianist by More Than Ready, who stands at Windstar Farm, bred by Grapestock, which is a division of Vinery. And let's see, there was a Canadian bred that ran second. Don't want to mention that. The Maryland Sprint Handicap winner was won by Sage Valley, who was bred by Buck Pond Farm. Running second was Harden Wildcat, bred by the New Farm, and running third was Laurie's Rocket, bred by Gulf Coast Farms. All three Kentucky breds. The Vagrancy, grade 2 at Belmont Park. Glorious View, the winner, bred by Bryant LaRue. I'm not sure that's the way you pronounce it. L-A-U-E. LaRue. Well, anyway. Running second was Fantasy of Flight by Tisnow, bred by Kim and Rodney Nardelli, another Kentucky bred. And What Great Pleasure ran third, bred by Valerie and David Bleffin. The Margelle Everett Handicap, grade 2 at Hollywood Park, Open Water won that, by one of my favorite horses. Two, include, he's keeping that old Domino sire line alive. Thanks to him, it's still going. Bribba Overbrook Farm, running second, was a lady of 50 Bribba Cloverleaf Farms, and a Louisiana bred ran third. The Red Band Stakes at Monmouth Park winner was Za Approval by Ghost Zapper, who of course stands in Edina Springs. Bribba the Live Oak Stud, foaled in Kentucky. Ghost Zapper doing extremely well at stud. The Hilltop Stakes at Pimlico winner, Emotional Kitten. It's another one of those kitten's joys, bred by Kenneth and Sarah Ramsey. Thing he ran second was by Include, Summer of Fun. Let's see what else we got. The Miss Preakness Stakes at Pimlico, I'm Mom's Favorite, an Indian Charlie, bred by Dr. T.F. Van Meter, Riley McDonald, and J.R. McCaffin. The Ski Pat Stakes at Pimlico went to Dance to Bristle. That's a Sprightstown champion sprinter standing over at Windstar Farm. David Garner bred that one. And let me see, moving right along. The Very One Stakes at Pimlico, Sensible Lady, bred by Spendthrift Farm. Another Kentucky bred, an Indian Charlie ran second. And didn't say who bred it. He says got owned by Tenbrook Farm, but I think it was bred at Tenbrook Farm. The Chickland Stakes up at Pimlico, Zebros, a 3-year-old colt in the first crop, our brother Derek, who stands over at Airdrie Stud, as did Indian Charlie, bred by EICO Stables. Let's see what else we've got. The Celine Stakes, grade 3 up in Canada. Went to Coffee Click, bred by Mrs. Jerry Ammerman, running when the governor's handicap at Emerald Downs. Hoist won that, bred by John Oxley. The Kirtana Stakes at Churchill Downs, Treasured Up won that, bred by Summer Wind Farm. Summer Wind Farm right over across the road from Old Friends. The Railbird Stakes out at Hollywood Park went to Iotapa, bred by Jim, Bear, and O'Hara. The Rollicking Stakes at Pimlico. Oh, he was a nice stud horse, stood up in Maryland. Dead Ceiling won that, bred by Wend and Brandywine Farm. That's, they breed all kinds of horses and run. And let's see, the Group 2 Middleton Stakes at York went to Dalcala by Giants Causeway, who stands, of course, at Ashford Stud. This one bred by the Aga Khan. Was raised at foaled and raised over at Airdrie Stud, though. He breeds his boards his horses there. The Blade Amity Philly Stakes at York went to Pavlosk. It's a filly by Arch, bred by Judmont Farms. And let's see, the Aston Park Stakes at Newbury went to Willing Foe, bred by Stonerside Stables. The Carl King Charles II Stakes at Newmarket went to Dundonnell. That's a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by First Defense, bred by Judmont Farm. Lord of mercy, they put 133 pounds on this horse to win this. He was giving how much weight to the second horse? 4 3/7 pounds to the second and third horses there. And let's see, the Fairway Stakes at Newmarket went to Hoarding, bred by S.C.A.R. D. Piallo Agostini and Dolly. And, but he is a Kentucky bred. So, pretty good week for Kentucky breds as far as I can see. And May 18 at Hollywood Park, the grade $250,000 Marjorie Everett Handicap was won by Open Water, 4-year-old filly by Include, bred by Overbrook Farm. And at Pimlico, the $100,000 Chick Land Stakes went to Zebros. I just did this, didn't I?
Yep.
Didn't I just do that?
Yeah.
I just did that. Burr, you almost slipped up on me again. Let's start all over again. May 17, a day early at Pimlico. The grade 3 $300,000 Pimlico special was won by Last Gunfighter. 4-year-old colt by First Samurai. There we go. Bred and owned by John Gunther and trained by Chad Brown. The Last Gunfighter won by 4 1/4 lengths, going away to secure his third stakes win of the year. He's 3 for 3 this year. Never out of the money. He's posted 6 wins from 10 starts. Early wins include the Grade 3 Excelsior, the Raymond Earl, in the Evening Attire Stakes, all in New York. He is one of four 2013 stakes winners by First Samurai. Justin Phillip has won the Grade 3 Count Fleet Sprint. Earlier, he won the Grade 2 Woody Stevens and placed in six more stakes, two Grade 1. Swift Warrior has posted two graded stakes wins already this year. And Get Happy Mister has won the 2013 renewal of the $100,000 Northern Spur Stakes at Oaklawn. First Samurai saw eight stakes winners in 2012, including one of the top two-year-old fillies in the nation, the multiple Grade 1 winner Executive Privilege. Is a multiple Grade 1 winner by From Giant's Causeway, and he stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com. LexHorseFarms.com. Boy, you need to go to their website and look it up. That's Hill and Reagan Parker, great realtors. And they have a wonderful place for sale right up the road from here. It's 5222 Paris Pike. I know the farm. They didn't put the name of the farm on there, but I know exactly where it is. If you're going toward Paris on the right, beautiful place, 462 acres. I'm tell you what, it's 74 stalls, four barns, frontage on two roads, six residences, miles and miles of board, fencing.
The barns are stunning.
It's a gorgeous place, and the house is drop-dead gorgeous. Built in 1835, that house was.
Is that right?
It's plantation home, one of a kind. And in, everything in that farm is in perfect condition. I mean, it is. They don't have a weed out of place.
Ooh.
And you drive by there, and they've raised some good horses up there, too. And they got a big tag on it, but it's worth every penny of it. It's about $11 million.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it's
I'd take my money out of the stock market and buy myself a farm.
There you go. So I want you to get in touch with Hill and Reagan Parker. I'm going to give you the number. It's a Lexington number. It's 608-8039. Real horse people, they know what real horse people want and what they need because, you know, they've been there and they've done that. And I've known Hill for a number of years. He's a top flight horseman to begin with. Licensed trainer, A-level pony clubber, used to ride steeplechasers. He's a little nutty, but other than that. But he's got other listings. Now, if you don't want to come up with $11 million, I tell you, he's got a nice place down in Bourbon County that's smaller. It's got a nice house on it, and it's very reasonably priced. And he's got places in Fayette and Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark. Everywhere, all locations and all sizes and all prices. So go to their website, or better still, call them, and they'll help you find that just right place. All righty, now there's a lot to talk about. Okay, I got to move on right now. What are we doing?
Yeah. Crestwood.
Oh yeah, I got to do my Crestwood. We'll get Mr. Moody on here pretty quick. Yeah, good. Well, there's a lot to like about Get Stormy.
Well, that's okay.
First of all, he was a runner of exceptional quality. He won three Grade 1 stakes at three different tracks, Churchill, Keenan, Gulfstream, all three in wire-to-wire fashion. He also won three stakes at Saratoga, two of them graded, two more graded stakes at Keenan and Churchill. In fact, he won nine stakes, placed in six others, and he earned over $1,606,000. Another thing to like about Get Stormy is his confirmation. He's a real eye-catching individual. Don't take our word for it. Go see him. I've heard some really good reports about him from people who know a whole lot more about it than I do. So we think he'll agree. Then he's the son of the very successful Stormy Atlantic, one of the best by the great Storm Cap. Add it up, there is indeed a lot to like about Get Stormy. Standing his first season stud at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, $5,000 doing a full stanza nurses, also at Crestwood. Our Channel, Country Day, Mutara, Nobius Like Showbiz, Taste of Paradise, Tis Deja Vu. Call the farm, 859-252-3770. Be sure to ask about breeding incentives and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been and been Sally Van. You can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Hey,
heading down the highway. Have
you? All righty. Well, I'm talking to Steve Moody from my good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services, and he's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which you can go to your website and get. It's brisnet.com. Great website, great outfit, and great handicapper. How are you this morning, Steve?
My internet being out for the second day, I'm doing all right.
Well, you sound like you're down in a barrel or something right now. What, you on a speakerphone or something?
Yeah, we can fix that.
Okay. Please. Did you get it done?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. Oh, hey, you sound almost human again. I've forgotten. I've never seen you. What the heck's the feature down there today?
The Louisville Handicap.
Louisville, yeah. Handicap. Okay.
Yeah. Mile and a half on the grass. 3-year-olds and up. No changes looking at the Churchill website. They got some overweights, but fast and firm down there today. And field of nine drawn for this race. Pretty well matched group. I thought that you do have a fair amount of speed in here. With of course, I Owe You Big Time as the one that's the 6-year-old that he always showed speed, so he figures to be a out there battling early. Harrods Creek coming off the layoff for a Bill Mott. This horse can run up close. But I kind of think the pace will be legitimate. Alcazar, the 8, has also shown some speed at times. And then the bottom horse, Heathcote, also has some early foot. So I think the pace of this race is going to be legitimate. I think it's a setup for something that can run from a little bit off of it. I thought settled on the 4 horse in here, Ursel, the Attigan, from Kenny McPeak's barn. This horse is, came back on the Derby Day, won, grass race, on Derby Day, and, gonna try to make it 2 in a row. Got some versatility. He can run up close, but he can also be rated. And I think that that ability will come in handy today. I look for him to kind of be laying in the garden spot just off the leaders, and he'll try to run him down late. I Owe You Big Time's a tough old 6-year-old, and he's got a winning attitude. He's really gotten good the last couple of years, and he's going to be up there battling from the start, and he's certainly capable of beating this bunch. He's won at this level and beyond in the past, so he's probably the horse to beat. And then Harrods Creek, the 2 horse, as I said, he's coming off a 10-month layoff, but there are not many trainers any better bringing horses back off the layoffs than Bill Mott, and I think he'll have this one ready to go. The one question mark about Harrods Creek is that he's had 2 starts at Churchill over that turf course and failed to hit the board either time. So a little bit of a question as to maybe how much he maybe likes that course down there. But we're going to look for Attigan to sort of stalk the pace setters and try to run by him at the end. We'll give him a slight edge. 4-5-2 in the Louisville Handicap.
4-5-2. Did you have the Preakness winner?
No, although he was, I told a couple people that I thought if Orb didn't win, and the only other horses I could see winning were the 2 Lucas runners. I actually liked Will Take Charge a little better than Oxbow, but I didn't think anybody else could win other than those 2 and Orb. And of course, I didn't really think that Oxbow could get three quarters and 113, but he did, and he just kept right on going.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, well, you know, I hated to see the horse get beat because, you know, been good for racing for a horse trying for the Triple Crown. But on the other hand, you know, it's a good story with Lucas and you know, Stevens, you know, the older generation doing well. So
the Sunshine Boys, Lucas 77 and Stevens 50. So that's pretty amazing.
They both sound young to me. All right, Steve, I really appreciate it. And Steve, of course, the author of the Kentucky Handicapper sheet, which is published by Brisnet, by Bloodstock Research. You can go to brisnet.com and get your copy. And as far as that goes, he gave us a Derby winner, by golly, $12.80, wasn't it? He paid?
Yeah, I think so. And then the horse that I told everybody about that I thought that the long shot that could pay some boxcars was Golden Soul. So if you put him in your exacta, that was 900 and something for the exacta.
Wow. Well, I'd forgotten that. Well, okay. Well, that said, go to brisnet.com and pick up your Kentucky Handicapper sheet. All right, Steve, thank you so much. Just have a good day.
All right, Ursel.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, Dun Donnell, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop of First Descents, won the May 18th run of the King Charles II Stakes at Newmarket. He was the class horse in the race, said his jockey. He carried 133 pounds, including his Martin Harley, who was his jockey. The King Charles II was just his second start of the year. He'd placed in the Group 3 Craven Stakes on April 18th. Never been out of the money in Great Britain. He won the Group 3 ACOM Stakes and ran second in Group 2 Champagne as a 2-year-old. Came to the USA and it was a closing fourth. Just got beat 2 3/4 lengths in a field of 14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf last November. Horse with a lot of potential. The First Defense is also the sire of the Fleet Filly, Close Hatches. One of her first three starts, including the Grade 2 Gazelle in New York. He's the sire of Stakes Place New Line, second in the Trippy Stakes at Belmont. In his most recent outing, of Smoking in the Boys' Room, second in the Turfway Preview Stakes, and of 21 winners in his first crop. Grade 1 winner First Defense is Bond Bridle, out of Empire Maker's Grade 1 winning half-sister Honest Lady by Seattle Slough. He signed runners. It's a great pedigree. Stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. That's the home also of Mizzen Mass. So I have 5 Grade 1 winners, including 2 winners of Breeders' Cup races. That was last November. And the recent winner, the 2013 French Classic 1,000 Guineas. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. I was talking to Steve Moody just a few minutes ago, and of course he's works with Bloodstock Research Information Services. I don't know if you've been to their website or not, but you need to check it out. If you're a breeder or a gambler, you just can't do any better. I tell you what I like, the old-fashioned charts that they put up there, the competition, I guess you'd call them that, the charts. I don't like the way they do those things. I mean, I'm an old-timer, and I remember when you could go to the racing form and look at the charts, and, you know, and I like to look at the charts the same way as I did many years ago. And by golly, the Bris charts are that way. And it's a free service. But they've got so many things on there, you know, that help breeders and help gamblers. I'm not a gambler, so I kind of stay away from that end of it. But
the breeder stuff, there's so much. Oh, my gosh. List by sires, dams, second dams, blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's a laundry list of ways to look at stuff, and it's down the left side of the page.
Yeah.
Just roll down there, sire lists and lists and lists. So, very good.
Just about everything a horseman needs, I tell you that. And as far as that is, everything gamblers need, too. So, check them out. It's brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. Well, in stakes, am I doing this right? Yeah, in stakes last week, the Grade 3 Gallarette was won by Pianist bred by Grape Stock, a division of Vinery. The Rollicking at Pimlico went to Debt Ceiling, bred by Brandywine Farm. Treasured Up, winner of the Kirtana Stakes at Churchill Downs, was bred by Summer Wind Farm. In France, the Group 2 Middleton Stakes went to Delcala, bred by the Aga Khan, raised over at Airdrie Stud. In Canada, the Strawberry Morn Stakes was won by Evelyn's Dancer, bred by Brian and Gray Lister at Ashview Farm. And here's one we missed from the week before. Shame on us. The Grade 2 Eclipse Stakes at Woodbine went to Alpha Better, bred by Dina Springs. That's six more stakes wins for horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers. So congratulations to the folks at Vinery, at Brandywine, Summer Wind, Airdrie, Ashview, and Adina Springs. If you want to breed the best for your, if you want the best for your horses, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at McCauley's and talk to them about the products from McCauley Brothers and the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. The number is 859-873-3333. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. So go with the winner, McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. All right. Well, Michael is still unloading whatever it is he's unloading over there. I think, I'm just guessing that he's got the new Daily Racing Form books. At,
the magazines.
Magazines.
Yeah.
That he's unloading.
How many?
20,000.
20,000. One at a time. Michael's kind of weak.
Yes. Well, you ought to get Doc over there to help him.
Yeah.
So Doc lost his ride, but we'll get him on next week.
For sure.
They'll be twice as sharp next week.
Yeah. And have twice as much to say.
Oh, my God. With Michael?
I know.
Oh. Well, I won't have to say anything, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's right. What are you going to do now? History?
Yeah, you know, I was picking up Ken Hollingsworth book.
We had the house, inside the house painted. Terry Tubbs did it, did a fantastic job. It's so pretty. Mm-hmm. Terry Tubbs and his Merry Men. Yeah. And so we had to unload the bookshelves.
Yeah, he painted our living room, and we've got wall-to-wall bookshelves there.
Yeah, huge amount of bookshelves. That took a
huge amount
days.
Of books.
And there was Kent Hollingsworth.
Yeah, now I hadn't read this in, you know, it's The Arch Jockey of Canterbury and Other Tales by Kent Hollingsworth. What they are excerpts from columns that Kent wrote.
That's good.
While he was at, I guess while he was all at the Blood Horse. And Kent would come up with some very interesting historic things, you know. Uh-huh. Kent was a very interesting guy and was a very good writer. And he always had good stories to tell. And, let me see if I can read one here. Yeah. Now you're talking about real money is what this one is headlined by. And it says, looking at racing's vital statistics as presented by economist David Norwick, we find that $5 billion was bet on thoroughbred horse races in North America last year. $731,649 per day, $98.82 per person each day. Now, these were written from columns that are written in the late 60s and the early 70s. I'm putting that in anyway. Well, this seems like a good deal of betting money. We were checking on something in the old volume of the Blood Horse, however, and happened upon a story John A. Drake related to editor Tom Cromwell concerning serious wagering. John W. Bet-A-Million Gates, who started with a hardware store in West Chicago, went to Texas with some barbed wire in the 1870s and returned with a fortune. This was parlayed into a magnificent sum by a series of corporate mergers, which by 1892 was the monopoly-style Consolidated Steel and Wire Company. 5 years later, Gates organized a trust that was to control all the wire and steel that glistened. It was so grand that J.P. Morgan stepped in and took it over. So for $20 million, Gates left U.S. Steel to Morgan, turned his attention to railroads, oil, and the racetrack. At the turn of the century, American racing men with any pretense of class raced a few horses in Britain. August Belmont, W.C. Whitney, James R. and Foxhall Keene, Pierre Lorelein, plus Richard Boss Croker and Ed Cargan, both of whom had been ruled off of New York for different reasons, and John W. Gates. Gates's horses were in the care of American trainer Enoch Wishart and ridden by the celebrated American brothers Johnny and Lester Reef. Gates brought an aged horse whose name struck his fancy, Royal Flush, with which he won the Royal Hunt Club at Ascot in June of 1900. The following month, Royal Flush was entered for the Stewart's Cup at Goodwood. Drake, friend and partner of Gates in many turf exploits, said he left the business of getting down the bets to Gates. I didn't see him for a couple of days, and when I finally met him, I asked him how much he had placed on the horse. He said he didn't know, and took out his memorandum book and started turning pages. Well, every page he turned represented a sizable investment with a bookmaker, and after he'd been fingering pages for quite a few minutes, I took out my Wardum and drew a line across the book, telling him that that was as far as I wanted to go. "Hell, John," Gates explained, jumping to his feet. "You don't mean to tell me you've heard there's something the matter with the horse?" Royal Flush, with Johnny Reef up, won the Stewart's Cup by 6 lengths at 11-2 starting odds. Second was Croker's Americas, also trained by Wishart and written by Lester Reef. Drake said he and Gates won nearly $2 million on their bets. "I met him the next day in the hotel," Drake related, "and he tells me, 'John, if you hadn't dumped cold water on me, we would have taken some real money from these people.'"
That's a good one.
Oh, there's a good one going back to written about, where if I see if I can find it here. Yeah, this was the cute one, talking about Alex Hardhill, the veterinarian, you know. And this is very brief, but it's a good one, I think. Alex Hardhill is one of the first veterinarians a man thinks of calling when his good horse comes up sore. Apart from his acknowledged technical skill, Dr. Hardhill is known as a man of sentiment, not adverse to a sentimental wager. Last summer in the Arlington Park kitchen, some men from Frank Merrill Jr.'s barn were discussing, perhaps with embellishments, the prodigious eating habits of a man who rubbed 3 fillies in Merrill's barn between meals. Hardhill listened to these stories for some time, and when it seemed agreed that the knife and fork champion of all time had been designated, Hardhill sentimentally offered to cover any money which might show in the event a challenger could be found. A good doer from Willard Proctor's barn was quickly produced. Merrill's man, smugly confident in the Canadian form of their man, was unknown in Illinois, backed their representative enthusiastically. The spread was put on shortly after the last set of horses had been cooled out to permit as much time possible for the contest without interfering with daily double play. The eaters smilingly began on 6 shrimp cocktails each. Then came the vegetable soup. Then bowls of mashed potatoes, peas and carrots, some corn on the cob, and 8 pork chops each. Then came the 2-inch sirloins, empty dishes and coffee cups crowded each table, and by 1:30 both men were tiring perceptibly. A stack of cobs and bones separated the contestants when Hardhill's man began to falter. He sadly turned to his backer and in low tones confessed doubt he could swallow one more bite. Hardhill received this news calmly, lit a cigar, and called to the cook, "My man needs 6 more ears of corn and wants to know what kind of pie you got." On the Canadian side, a fork clattered, and Merrill's foreman threw in the napkin.
That's great, isn't it? That's fun.
I love those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. See if I can find another one here that, here's one he's writing about Double J. Well, let me, I'll get back to that one, but it's a pretty good one, too, getting an education. So let me take a break here, and I'll get back and read that. With Seafree, a 3-year-old colt by Jazzle racing in France, has posted 3 wins in a second from 4 starts, and his second was coming in his first start in stakes. That was the Group 3 Prix La Force. He's a colt with a bright future. Seafree joins a growing list of stakes horses by Jazzle, a list that includes Grade 1 stakes winners in Europe and South America, a listed stakes winner in Europe, 3 stakes horses in the USA. Those would be the Fleet Jazzle, Najjar in the $125,000 Arlington Classic, and Love Me Good in the R. Mims at Delaware. Now, Jazzle won the 3rd leg of the Triple Crown, the classic Belmont Stakes, as did his half-sister, the champion filly Rags to Bitches. Sired by Seeking the Goal, Dazzle is out of a Broodmare of the Year. His second dam won the Kentucky Oaks. His third dam was yet another Broodmare of the Year. He is, without question, one of the best-bred young sires in the world. Dazzle stands for $4,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm, home also of Albertus Maximus, De Hare, Intadab, Hall of Famer Invisor, and Mooston Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, Dr. Bill Bernard is over at Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine on the Georgetown Pike, located right where Ironworks Pike empties onto Georgetown Pike. It's a state-of-the-art facility over there. Dr. Bernard, of course, is an internist. He treats, you know, infectious diseases, any kind of respiratory problems, neurology. He was with 20 years with Rudin Riddle, and he decided to go out on his own. And he was joined by Dr. Wesley Sutter, and he's an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine vet. And two great vets, no two ways about that. And they opened up the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine Center over where I was telling you where it was. And the cost of services, they tell you right up front. You call them up and tell them what you need. They set up an appointment, bring your horse in. They take care of your horse. It's an outpatient facility. 90% of their cases that are brought in are outpatient. And they take you up and send you back. And when you get the bill, you're not going to be a surprise. No surprises. They tell you up front what it's going to cost. It's fair, it's reasonable, and that's what it's going to cost you. Not going to cost your new anything more. Also, they've got the only standing MRI in Lexington. Great, as I said, state-of-the-art facilities. They've got a nuclear scintigraphy bone scan machine there that's state-of-the-art. It's like I say, they like to specialize in elective surgery only, with outpatient medicine and so forth. So give them a call over there. Go to their website. The website's a real easy one. It's lexingtonequine.com. Lexingtonequine.com. So great outfit, comes some great vets over there, and they can give you some first class service at a reasonable price. Kodiak Cowboy had speed. Eclipse Award winning speed. Earned his Eclipse Award by winning the Grade 1 Vosburgh, the Grade 1 Carter, and the Grade 1 Cigar Mile. He was a champion sprinter. He also had been a champion 2-year-old. Won the Grade 2 Saratoga Cup, the Grade 3 Bashford Manor at Churchill in this country, and Woodbine's Victoria Stakes in his venture south resulted in the Servant Award as champion 2-year-old colt in Canada. Now, Kodiak Cowboy also won the Grade 2 Amsterdam at Saratoga and the Grade 3 Sport Page at Aqueduct, placed in seven more stakes, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Judo. During his career, he posted triple-digit buyer speed ratings at 6 furlongs, 6.5 furlongs, 7 furlongs, 7.5 furlongs, and a mile. Kodiak Cowboy sire is Posse. He was the nation's leading freshman sire in 2007 with a record-breaking 7 2-year-old stakes winners. So look for Kodiak Cowboy's 2-year-olds to come out running this year. Stands at Windstar Farm for $6,500 doing a full stands and nurses inquiries to Jerry Duffy, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, I'm getting back to Kent Hollingsworth's book. The title of this one is Getting Education. So let me read that. Talking about times gone by and the trainers who went with him. Today's trainers, of course, are something else entirely, a new breed, which has evolved under new rules, restrictions at which an old-timer would snort. They're trying to make honest men out of thieves. 50 years ago, it was not uncommon for a trainer to back his judgment of his horse man-to-man, shortcutting the circuitous route of the mutual machines, which were relatively new. The late W.L. Duke McHugh had a tendency to announce his convictions with the volume turned up, and not infrequently he had a bankroll to support his convictions. He trained Double J for the Ridgewood stable of James Ticani and James Boynes. At 2, Double J had won the Newport and James H. Connors Memorial Stakes in New England, then the Garden State Stakes, and then he was shipped to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. There he was to meet his most formidable opposition of the year, Mrs. Fred Hooper's Education, the best two-year-old in Chicago and the leading money earner of the division, with victories in the Hialeah Juvenile, the Elementary, the Washington Park Futurity, the Prairie State Stakes, the Hawthorne Juvenile, and the Breeders' Futurity. The speedy son of Ariel was a 4-5 favorite, although a mile was a little beyond his distance, while Double J was 5-2 in the morning line for the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. On the morning of the race, McHugh ambled into the racing secretary's office, where a suggestion was made by one of the assembled horsemen that Double J was overmatched. "Duke, think your horse will ever be able to catch Education?" McHugh responded quickly with a $400 slapped on the counter. "This says my horse is in front at the quarter." There was considerable scurrying and scrambling to get this sum covered because Education was not in the habit of being beaten away from the gate. Some of the heavier trainers in the room were shut out at the counter. McHugh produced another $400, and this says he is in front at the half. Real activity now began, and McHugh, thundering above the din, continued to peel it off the arm. "And here's $400 that says he's still in front at the three quarters, and this $400 says he's in front at the end." There was a clamor still for action, but McHugh was, with more fire than dignity, shouted, "I'll bet some real money and ruin all you guys, but I don't have any more, and that's the only thing that's saving you." That afternoon, Johnny Gilbert got Double J away from the gate, but hustled to the front quickly and along the rail, and after a quarter and 22-4, had the lead by half length over Education. The half was run in 46-2, and Double J still had the lead at the half. The three quarters was run in 111-2, and Double J continued to lead Education by the same margin, with the rest of the field four lengths and more behind. Then, as Gilbert gave Double J a breather, Nick Jemus made his move with Education, and the two horses drew almost even at the 3/16th pole. After that point, Gilbert roused his horse, and Double J drew away with authority to win by three lengths in 137, fastest time for the race since 20 grand beat Equipoise. McHugh's was not a good bet. His $1,600 could have won $4,320 through the machines, but it was Duke's kind of bet, an old racing man's kind of action. Even money, man to man, peeling it off the arm for every pole. Today's restrictions take away the salt.
Ah, fun. That's good.
That race.
That's a good one.
I think that was a race that Bull Hancock saw and made up his mind that he was going to stand that horse, Double J.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's right. Now, Ariel was the sire of Education was a speed sire. And I remember him. He stood over at Millworth Farm for Walter Salmon. And he had a rear end on him like a quarter horse, and that's the kind of things he sired. I don't know whatever happened to Education. He went up to the stud somewhere, but I'm not sure it was in Kentucky. May have. Of course, Double J was a top sire, best son of Balladeer. He and Spy Song were the two best, and Double J was a better sire than Spy Song.
No Double?
Pardon?
Did he sire No Double?
No. He didn't sire No Double. No. No Double was by No Home the Second.
Oh, right.
Yeah, who was from, stood down at in Arkansas, No Home the Second did. And No Double went to Domino Stud, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jimmy Dryman syndicated him and could not get people to breed to him up here. People didn't like the sire line, No Home. So they moved him to Florida and he turned out to be a top sire. Now, Jimmy was a good, he had some good sires over at Domino Stud when he was over there. You know, he had Grey Dawn.
Yeah.
Who was a top sire.
French.
Yeah. Uh huh. French. And, trying to remember who else he had.
Al-Hatab.
Yeah, Al-Hatab, that was a really good sire.
Dewan.
And he had Dewan.
Yes.
Yeah, three really nice horses. And then, of course, No Double would have been a top sire, too, you know, yeah, if he'd been there. I mean, he made it in Florida, so he was going to make it there, too. Jimmy was a great guy.
Yeah.
Loved Jimmy. Yeah, he was a very generous person, very, did a lot of nice things for a lot of nice people. Nobody
and
knew
never
about
it. Talked about it. Nobody knew about it.
Nobody ever knew about it. Yeah, he was a real good friend. We had we were in partnership with him on Homewood Farm over on West Side, Bethel Road. And he had a place leased, and we subleased some from him and took care of what few horses he had at that time. He had some horses in training that we trained. We had a lot of fun with the, with that old horse, Here to One, that yeah. belonged to Jimmy. He was a he was by DeWan, if you remember.
Yes.
And a Hall of Fame, I won't mention him, but a Hall of, who it was, but a Hall of Fame trainer had him out in California. Yeah. Couldn't win with him. And boy, we got him, and boy, he was stove up. You remember?
He had no feet. They had just cut his feet off.
Not only that, when he shipped, when he changed leads, it was like a, the old 39 Packard.
Yeah, I know.
Clunk, you know, yeah. So God. But that sire line, you know, the, and he was Prince Quiller sire line, and the old horse, we got him ready from starters. And was running him at the start of long races, starter races, and he was never worse than third going on a mile and an eighth or longer.
And a kind horse, too, a stallion.
Yeah.
And just as kind and sweet as he could be.
All right, let me take care of this. It's not too late to take advantage of Spendthrift Farmers' popular breed secure program. It's a simple program, breed, sell. If you don't make a profit, you don't pay. Give Ken Wilkins of Des Dempster or Mark Toothacker a call. The number, 859-294-0030. Eligible for the program are the Young Stallions, Dominus, Line of David, Notional, and Temple City. Dominus won the Grade 2 Dwyer on the dirt and the Grade 2 Bernard Baruch on the grass. He is by Smart Stripe, who has twice topped the North American sire list, and he's out of a stakes winner and a graded place daughter of Lord of War. And she's a half-sister to the Grade 1 winner and $2 million earner Honey Rider. Dominus, standing his first season at stud. Line of David won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, beating Super Saver. His first foals are yearlings. He descends from the female family of the great Mr. Prospector. Temple City is a graded stakes winner and track record breaker by Dinah Former, out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon, who is currently the nation's number one sire by North American earnings. It's a great sire pedigree, and Temple City's first foals are yearlings. Notional, a multiple graded stakes winner by the sire of Indian Charlie, in excess, who just passed away, incidentally. He is a multiple stakes winner in his first crop, and the first two-year-old starter from his second crop won first time out in a maiden special at Keenan. Once again, call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker at Spencer Farm, and ask about the Breed Secure program. See the website, SpendthriftFarm.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that...
I think he... We're getting back to Double J. I think he led... I was either second or might have led the sire list one year. I mean, he was a very solid stud. Okay, I got time to read a... Joe Palmer. And he's writing about the Pimlico. So it's the date line on this column, Baltimore, Maryland. And it goes this way. Pimlico was lovely and satisfying, as usual. Or perhaps it's just that a man full of Maryland fried chicken can think only soft thoughts. Once the steeplechase was out of the way on a special day, Pimlico came up with a parade consisting of five policemen on black horses, and very handsome black horses, and a band in red coats, which may or may not have been ordered for this particular band. When first observed, they were at the 316th pole, breaking into a number called Maryland, My Maryland, in this locality, though sometimes called Tannenbaum and others. At the 8th pole, with a quick reverse to the short side, they swung into Dixie. At the finish line, hauled a stop, they played the Star Spangled Banner. This exactly expresses the sentiment of the customers who are Marylanders first, Southerners second, and citizens of the United States later. With this sop to the conventions, the band went back to Dixie just to keep everybody straight. The notion here, during this performance, was that a good many racetracks missed the boat by not attempting to give color to their top attractions. Frankly, as the horses file out from beneath the wooden stands at Churchill Downs and the band plays My Old Kentucky Home, this tourist gets slightly stuffy about being a Kentuckian, which really might happen to anyone who chooses his parents carefully. Probably the local population feels much the same way, though with less reason, when Maryland, My Maryland is the piece de resistance. It's just something to make them feel that the race is particularly their own, a part of their heritage and a focus of attention from the rest of the country. Born and laugh, the thing is real at the time, and of what else does reality consist? Take it or leave it, the worst two tracks in the country from an architectural standpoint are Churchill Downs and Pimlico. Both have wooden stands, not built of new wood either. The new Pimlico clubhouse, put on a small scale, would make a fair rabbit warren. The old clubhouse, in sober fact, is a piece of Rococo architecture from the 90s or earlier. In another sense, it typifies Pimlico's determination to hold on to the past, even while automobiles replace tallow hoes in its parking grounds. Churchill Downs would make a fair rabbit warren, too, except that no considerate rabbit would set up as many bars in the twists and turns of its retreat. Yet, what tracks represent racing to a man in Iowa? Like Churchill Downs and Pimlico, the rabbit warrens, the old wooden grandstands with the Derby and the Preakness, just 9 years old, the Pimlico special. And the reason? They both serve racing as a show and not a 65 shot pitted against horses at longer prices. The aisles of no grandstand, however modern, are clogged with nicer people than you should show through at Pimlico. Maybe it's because Pimlico has only 25 days of racing, but it seems a festive occasion rather than a duty. And nowhere does a crack winner get a better reception. This onlooker is not the best possible witness on the subject, having been uncritically seduced by the place some seasons ago. Even today it can shake off its white mice and its uniform useless guards and still stand out as a track where racing is conducted for sport. This may win the derision of wise guys who know angles, but the opinion here is that a wise guy is only a man who knows through what chicanery or incompetence he's lost a bet. The late Major Barack Thomas of Dixiana had a sign over his gate, a replica of which you may see in the administration building at Belmont Park. It was to the effect that sellers of lightning rods, patent medicines, and wire fences would do well to be on their way, but that anyone who liked a good horse should come up to the house and have a drink. Some 10 years of association with the men of Pimlico suggest that they would have been welcome guests at Dixiana. Or to quote from an Elizabethan piece, which quite unaccountably crept into the brochure for the special, the Pimliconians are most of them malt men and exceeding good fellows.
Ah, very nice.
A little Joe Palmer there. All right, let me look at the winners from out of here in the last week. We've had 39 winners from the Thoroughbred Center so far this month, 11 in the past week. Starting with Brian Michael, last Saturday he took La Malaguena up to Churchill Downs and won a nice race with him. Then Eduardo Mercaramoy won that same day and showed at Doe Dodging. Joe Dodging, not Doe Dodging. I've talked too much today. Joe Dodging. Rod McDowell won one. So did Howard Dusty Rice. Matt Frazier won another quarter horse race up at the Indiana Downs. Of course, he trains Thoroughbreds too. Wins with them also. Tommy Short won another one. So did Ted Lucas. Tommy won up at Mountaineer. Ted at Presque Isle. John Paul Puchek won one. Jesse Caudle won one last night at Indiana Downs. Gold for Cash, and Jimmy Cargan won last night, also at Indiana Downs, with riding and a tearing, ripping and a tearing. That's what Jimmy does when he's on a high. I don't think Jimmy even drinks. All right, well, that about wraps us up, Jackie. I think, we got a minute. No, we're coming up on the last minute here. That's about it. Where can you pick this stupid show up now?
UrsulaEllisHorseTales.com.
If you hear us vibrating a little bit, they're just
really,
sealing the track.
Really sealing it. They got the extra heavy one today, I noticed. See the size of that thing?
Yeah, sealing the track here.
No, it must be going to rain. They're really, really packing it.
Yeah. And this thing is streamed live, I understand. So
WLXG.com.
Yeah, WLXG.com.
But it'll be UrsulaEllisHorsetails.com when maybe this afternoon.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll have Dr. Byers and Michael Blowing back next week. And
Michael, maybe you'll bring us in 30 or 40 of those.
Yeah, so come back by and we'll sell you some. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Meet again. Happy Friday.